you wake in a strange room. Your clothes are foreign, and the walls are covered in objects from a different world. You don't know where or when you are, or if you're still dreaming. There are footsteps in the hall. Jumping up, you race out of the room and into the streets. You have just entered the Twilight Histories.
Hi, I'm Jordan Harbour. What you're about to hear is part 4 of Ojibwe Miners and the final installment in this series. While your adventure in this world does end at the end of the show, you may be left with some questions, and that's where the bonus track comes in. So once you're finished listening, head on over to our Patreon page, sign up to support the show, and you'll get access to the bonus track. Before we launch in, here's a recap of part 3. You were captured by the Ojibwe and put into a dark prison cell where you met an American miner. Picking his brain, you tried to piece together what this strange subterranean world is all about. What are the Americans doing here? Why are they bombing the surface? Why are they mining uranium? When you were rescued by Yamoira, he filled in some more details, including the fact that the Americans were tunneling in from a different world in the multiverse. He was given command of a raiding party, and his self-imposed mission is to destroy the particle accelerator, sealing off the Americans from crossing over and trapping those who remain. He hopes that if he accomplishes this most dangerous of missions into the heart of the enemy territory, he will be made king of the Ojibwe. Your options are either to help him or have your tendons pulled out. And now, for part 4, the final installment of Ojibwe Miners, by myself, Jordan Harbour. "What's it look like down there?" you say to a brawny young Ojibwe guard sitting behind an American M60. Spools of ammunition are spread around him in neat piles. He takes a long, slow draw from his pipe, looks back at you with cold eyes, then returns to his vigil, hunting for movements in the shadows. You've arrived at the border between the Ojibwe and Americans. This is a heavily armed section, and there are 20 warriors sitting along the cramped hall, smoking, talking in hushed whispers. They ignore you and your band of raiders. Your raiders, you notice, are dressed in much brighter colors and are decorated with war paint, unlike these border guards who are clad in heavy black plate armor, riddled with bullet impacts. Your raiders are proud and macho. These guards are stony and silent. Yamoira puts his hand on your shoulder. "Don't bother talking to them. They're working," he says. You continue down a narrow branch that ends at a small iron grate. Your warriors remove the grate and spring through into the darkness beyond. You follow and find yourself in what looks like a very tight, natural cave system. It's wet, and the ground is a very slippery mud. You slip, and the woman behind catches you. "Thanks," you say. You see her big, grinning smile in the dark. "Watch your step, little one," she says. "Have you been in these caves before?" you say, hoping to spark a conversation. "Yes, many times. The Americans haven't found them yet." The tunnel widens and the warrior walks beside you. She's a foot taller than you and has long black hair. She has a noble face with dark, smooth skin and high cheekbones. She's dressed as the other women in brightly colored ribbons in purple, blue, and pink. "How long do these caves go on for?" you say. "They go deep. There are many branches and many ways to raid." "Does One of them lead to the particle accelerator. No, we'll have to fight our way in. This is a very dangerous raid. Warriors will die. But I hear you have a plan.
You heard that? Is that what you all think?
You turn and see the woman's smile is turning. You don't have a plan?
No, of course I have a plan. There are things that can be done, especially in tight, confined spaces, and I'm an expert in those types of things.
We will fight, and, if necessary, die, but I prefer to live.
I understand. What's your name?
Wawate.
Name translates into Northern Lights. Have you ever seen the Northern Lights, you say?
When I was young, yes. And that is what I am fighting for now, so my people can return to the surface and live under the stars once more.
I saw the surface. There was a city up there. Do you remember what it looked like?
Yes, it was beautiful. A beautiful city with great tall buildings. My parents were astronomers.
Astronomers?
You sound surprised. It was a very common job. I heard you're from a different world.
You know that?
Yes, everyone knows. What's your world like?
It's a broken world. It used to be better.
Like my world, then.
The difference is, there's something we can do to help your world. When we destroy the particle accelerator, we will destroy the one thing that's forcing you to remain underground. I don't know what will happen when we enter the American tunnels, but if this raid works, you can start to rebuild on the surface again. You can stop being warriors and be astronomers again.
You are good, Wawate says and claps you on the back. You are very good. After hours of winding through passages, sometimes crawling through holes or bending through small cracks, you enter a cavern. You gather around a rock in the center of the cavern. It's about twice the size of your backpack. The three largest warriors lift the rock and quietly place it to one side. You feel a cool breeze coming from the hole in the ground, but it smells repugnant, like rotting bodies. You know that smell. Without a word, the warriors spring down through the hole. Wawate is about to enter and notices you. She smiles and motions you to join her. You follow her down through the hole. You're in a caved-in mine shaft that smells of death. Boulders and rubble press in on you. Your arm brushes a large timber that once must have held up the ceiling, but it is now cracked and splintered. The smell in this place is terrible. Wawate crawls through a small crack, and you follow her through it into a wider space about 2 feet high. Enough room for you to crawl without bumping your head on the boulders above. You wonder what's keeping these boulders up, and suddenly have a terrifying feeling that they could crush you at any moment. You come to a rail system. You see mining carts crushed like toys under a pneumatic pump. You have to squeeze past them. The collapsed section of the shaft ends and you step out into a wide open shaft. The timbers here are all stable and the ceiling is held fast. You let out a deep breath. You aren't sure if you were holding your breath to avoid smelling the death or out of fear of being crushed. Probably both. But if you feel relief, the warriors are on high alert now. They have their weapons out and are spreading to the edges of the cavern, ready to pounce and kill. We're in the American mines now, Wawate whispers to you. She points with her axe towards the darkness. The particle accelerator is deep in the heart of these tunnels. None of us have ever been this deep before.
How deep? How long does it take to get there?
A day's walk. If we don't meet any Americans, and we will meet Americans. Someone shoves you from behind. You turn and flash your light on the person. Jamoira. He pulls you aside and leans his face in close. "Don't fraternize with them," he says in Urdu, so only you'll understand. "I'm not fraternizing. I'm just trying to figure out what to do. I need all the data I can get to figure that out." Yamoira shakes his head. "I have all the intel you'll need. Come to me if you have any questions." "Why can't I just ask them? Wouldn't it be easier than going through a gatekeeper like you?" "You're too emotional. You'll get attached. And if you get attached, you'll make mistakes. We have zero margin for mistakes in these tunnels." "I'm a professional." "If you're a professional, then obey the chain of command and do as I say. I don't want you fraternizing with them, do you hear?" You close your eyes for a moment to collect yourself. When you open them, you see Yamoira has already walked away. "Psychopath," you say in Urdu under your breath. You've been walking for over an hour. Three scouts are fanned out ahead, while another three remain behind to ensure no one is following you. You, Yamoira, and eight others are quietly walking in the center. That is your raiding party, 14 warriors, plus you and Yamoira. Yamoira has a map, which he often looks at, but refuses to share with you. You hear a finger snap down the tunnel. That's the code used by the scouts, so you'll know it's them and not Americans. Yamoira returns the snap, and the scout runs into the dim light of your lanterns. He's carrying his axe in his hand, and it's dripping with blood. Yamoira takes the scout aside. They speak with inaudible whispers in the shadows. When they're done, the scout rushes back into the darkness, the blood on his axe glinting in the lamplight. "You want to give me some intel, boss?" you say, not bothering to hide your scorn. You see a flash of anger in Yamoira's eyes. "We've made contact," he says. You continue down the passage at a slow pace, the scouts at the front and rear making regular updates. Their encounters are more frequent now, though they haven't yet allowed any survivors to escape and sound the alarm. Their work is neat and quiet. "This is much further than I've ever gone," Owate whispers to you. She looks worried. She points at the placard above the passage. It reads in English, "Now entering level 465, tunnel B." This new tunnel opens much wider and is bored out of the rock. There are dim lights along the ceiling. You can hear the distant echoes of drills and machines. Yamoira inserts himself between you and Mawate. He speaks in Urdu. "From here on, we're entering the main tunnels. We were in the smaller exploration drifts, but now we're not going to be able to hide so easily. Do you have any questions, Knight?"
"Can I see the map?"
"No."
"Why not?"
"Because I don't want you to get any ideas that you can just run away when things heat up. If you don't stick with me, you're lost."
"Again, boss, I'm a professional. I don't intend to run away. It would really help me to see that map."
"You don't need to see it. I'll tell you everything you need to know. These clowns have never been into the main tunnels before, so they don't have a clue. Now, what do you need to know?"
"How far do we have to go?"
"About a kilometer as a bird flies."
"Is it a straight line?"
"No, it's a maze."
"Are we at least on the right level?"
Yamoira looks at the map.
"No.
Looks like the particle accelerator is on the lowest level, level 500.
"So, that sign says we're at level 465. Is that meters or feet? What is that?"
"I don't know. I just assumed it was the floor level."
"How do we get lower?"
"Looks like the only way down is a cage elevator."
"Is there any other way down, like an air shaft or a ramp?"
"The map shows two shafts."
"What's the closest shaft?"
"Maybe about 100 meters in, but it's a bit of a maze to get into it. Would sure help if I could see that map. Not happening. What else do you need to know?
How wide is the shaft?
It doesn't say.
So you don't know if a person can fit down it?
No.
Is it all right if I ask Wawate?
No.
This is ridiculous.
Watch your tone, Knight. I'm your boss.
Okay, so if we make it to the air shaft or whatever it is, and it turns out that we can't use it, how much further is it to the gauge elevator? And are there any other gauge elevators or just that one?
Just the one in this area,
he says and folds the map.
Your decision, boss. One of the warriors approaches.
The rear scouts are taking too long to check in, he says in Ojibwe. Go check on them, Yamoira says.
He taps two other warriors and they disappear down the tunnel.
Do you have the route memorized? You say to Yamoira, switching back to Urdu.
You're developing a bit of an attitude, you know that. I need more compliance from you, Knight.
Let me rephrase that. If we're going into some heat, we might not have time to open the map.
We'll need to know all the exit points and where they lead, no matter where we are, and fast.
I know it well enough. But why not let me or her, Wawate, have a look at the map, so we all know?
I don't want to hear any more about the map, he says and pulls out a lighter. I'll burn the thing before I let anyone else see it.
You hear gunfire from the tunnel behind you. Yamoira spins on his heels. The five warriors with you all crouch and pull out their M16s.
Americans!
You hear the word in Ojibwe coming from down the tunnel and around the corner. One of the scouts comes into view. He's covered in blood and collapses to one knee.
An American patrol! Right behind us!
Any of your friends still alive back there?
No, they're all dead.
Yamoira lifts his rifle to his shoulder and shoots the wounded warrior in the chest.
Let's move,
Yamoira says. You catch up to the forward scouts. They're around a corner, and the Americans have them pinned. One of the warriors is lying on the ground, bleeding out. The other two are hiding behind wooden beams on either side of the tunnel. Bullets snap into the wall next to your head, and you pull back to safety. Yamoira calls out to the scouts to run back while your team lays suppression fire. He sends two warriors into the tunnel. They're both shot dead instantly.
Forget it. We're leaving them.
What are you talking about? You say. We can't leave them.
Yamoira pulls the pin on an American grenade and tosses it down the hall towards the scouts.
Let's move,
he says, and runs back the way you came. You hear the grenade explode. After a few minutes walking down the tunnel, you turn a corner to see five miners crouching in the hall, eating lunch and smoking. Before they can run, your warriors open fire. You come to a T-junction. You can either turn left or right.
What does the map say?
Shut up about the map, Yamoira says. He strains his ears. You follow suit. Hear the sounds of American English echoing from every direction, left and right and back.
Is there anything useful in that pack of yours?
Take it off and open it. You pull out a drone-guided bomb.
I can send this down one of the holes. It's supposed to interface with my chip so I can guide it, but since I don't have that option, I'm going to switch it to automatic. It will just keep going until it finds a human.
And then blow up?
Yes.
How big is the blast? We don't want a cave-in.
It's a small neutron bomb, so it makes a lot of heat, but not much else. Should be fine.
Yamoira nods approval. You turn the drone over and press the button on the bottom to activate automatic mode. You toss the drone down the right hall at random. It hovers, then flies into the darkness, hunting for its target.
Toss another one down in the other two halls while you're at it,
Yamoira says. You do as he says. The one down the tunnel you just came from explodes within seconds.
erupts in light. You feel the heat. Your pursuers must have been trailing you close. A few moments later, you hear a detonation down the hull on your left, but it's far away, and you only see a faint flash on the tunnel wall.
Should we wait for the other one? You say.
No time. Let's move. Moira says, and motions your small band of five warriors down the left-hand passage. The tunnel smells like pork chops that were left on the barbecue too long. You have to cover your nose. You quickly pass the spot where the neutron bomb detonated. The overcooked bodies on the ground appear to have been a miner and a soldier.
You have any more of those bombs? Moira says.
No, that was it.
You have anything else useful in that bag of tricks?
Yes, but not what we need right now.
You continue down the passage. It twists and turns until you arrive at a large fan in the wall.
It's an air shaft,
Wawate says. Moira looks like he's about to scold her for speaking out of line, but stops himself.
An air shaft, right. Looks like I got us to the right spot. Go ahead, open it up.
He motions to the group and steps back. The grate is about a meter in diameter. It's made of steel and is bolted to the wall. The fan behind it is producing a terrific blast of air. You check the bolts. They're big. You have a small wrench in your pack, but its profile isn't large enough for these bolts. You could cut the mesh, but the gauge is thick, and it would take time. The only other way would be to blast it out. There's risk in that, noise, and potential for a cave-in, especially with the bombs you have left. A red light on the ceiling starts to flash. You hear a voice over the speaker in American English.
This is high alert. Invaders have broken through the borders and are into the mine actual. All civilians, return to your rooms. All soldiers, report for duty immediately. I repeat, this is high alert.
What did that voice say?
Wawate says to you. She looks scared. You look at the other warriors. They're all very nervous. Their brows are covered in sweat.
They're on to us, you say.
We're too far in,
Wawate says.
Too many of us have died. We should go back.
Forget it. We're not going back without destroying the particle accelerator, Moira says. He looks at you and switches to Urdu.
As for you, stop fraternizing. Why are you standing around? Get that thing off, and let's get into the shaft already.
I don't have the right tools. The steel is too thick, and the bombs I have left might cause a cave-in.
So there's no way to get it off, you're saying?
I hate to say it. If we had more time, maybe 30 minutes to cut the wire.
We don't have 30 minutes. We don't even have 30 seconds.
Then we have to find the cage elevator.
Moira looks furious.
Are you sure? Because we don't have many warriors left. We're down to our last five. We haven't even made it to the lower levels yet.
You killed half of them.
Moira grabs you by the neck and stares in your eye.
I say we go back, you say.
We're not going back. Now make the call. Either figure out the grate, or we go to the elevator. Make your choice. Now.
The elevator.
Fine,
Moira says, and releases your neck. He marches down the hall. Wawate gives you a concerned look. She turns, and you follow her. You come to an intersection, out of which five tunnels radiate. There's a bright light filling the room from the ceiling. There are rail tracks. A broken mining cart lies on its side, along with a pile of mining equipment. Each of the tunnel entrances has a placard with a number.
That one, Moira says, and starts walking to Tunnel 5.
You see something flashing red down the tunnel. The light here is too dim to make out what it is. Moira gets out his flashlight and points at it.
It's your drone. It's caught in a loose mining net hanging from the ceiling.
Don't go near it, you say.
Is there a different tunnel we could take?
No, that's the only one, Moira says.
Bullets smack into the walls and the ground all around you. You catch the warrior next to you as he falls with a number of bullet holes in his chest. The warrior on the other side of you is shot in the leg. Your raiding party returns fire, and you see the shapes of soldiers at the entrance of your tunnel fall. You hear a whizzing sound behind you. The drone is trying to get free of the mining net.
"We have to get out of this tunnel," you say.
Yamoira rushes forward and the rest of you follow. You're back in the main intersection. 5 American soldiers are rushing in, and Yamoira fells them with a burst of automatic fire. You hear the barking of orders coming from every tunnel.
"Into that mining cart,"
Wawate says. It's a snug fit, but you and the 3 surviving warriors climb in. You hear a scream of pain echoing from behind.
"That's Makwa. We left him in the tunnel,"
Wawate says. You remember the warrior who was shot in the leg.
"He's going to give us away," Yamoira says.
"We're already dead,"
Wawate says. You hear soldiers filling the intersection, officers barking orders. You look at each of your warriors. They're all in deep prayer. Yamoira holds his rifle. He will sell his life dear. You remember your confrontation with him in the cellar. You pull out your bomb and show it to him. He takes it from you and nods, a rare moment of solidarity.
"I think I found one of them. He's still alive,"
you hear an American say. There's an explosion. Your world lights up. Heat and flames are everywhere. You cover your face, and then it's quiet. The smell of burnt barbecue. You rise from your mining cart and look around. The floor is full of charred corpses. Yamoira stands next to you. He hands you back your bomb and claps you on the back.
"Let's go," he says.
You run down the hall past the impact crater where your drone bomb exploded and out into a large, well-lit corridor. You see the elevator, a huge platform big enough for 2 tanks lined up side by side. The cage is half open along its track. You, Yamoira, and your last 3 warriors run onto the platform. Then you're dropping fast, rushing down to the bowels of the mine's deepest levels, down to where the uranium is richest, and where even now you can feel the vibrations of the particle accelerator. The huge elevator comes to a stop. You see soldiers on the other side of the cage, casually waiting their turn. Yamoira thrusts his muzzle through the cage and sprays them with a full clip. Wawate opens the cage to reveal a huge bored cavern, well lit and traced by thick wires and pipes. The floor is wet with blood and the bodies are scattered. There was nowhere to run. You find an assortment of military vehicles lined up against the wall. Trucks, jeeps, half-tracks with big wiry radar and howitzers with huge guns, all being worked on. You duck behind a tank as a group of mechanics walk by, talking about the world back home. Yamoira pulls out his knife and makes a motion to his warriors. They silence the mechanics and drag them under the tank. He leaps up onto the tank and drops through the hatch and into the turret. His hand appears and motions you to follow.
"Can you drive this thing?" Yamoira says.
"No."
"Then you stay up here in the turret with the machine gun, and I'll drive." Wawate and another warrior squeeze past you.
"No, no, not you," Yamoira shouts up to the last warrior. "There's no room for you."
The warrior looks confused, angry, lost.
"Come on, close the hatch, Knight,"
Yamoira says, and revs up the engine.
"I'm sorry,"
you say. The warrior looks terrified. Then he's gone. The tank lurches forward. Yamoira spins it in a tight 180 and drives it straight down the hall. You watch through the slit in the closed cupola as mechanics and soldiers run out of the way. You feel nauseating thumps whenever they don't make it in time. You pass great boring machines, mining trains, drills, and more military equipment. Alarms are going off, and red lights flash in the corridors. Your tank roars down the halls, smashing everything and everyone in its path. You come to a great metal door like you'd find in a massive bank vault. Soldiers are trying to close it.
Shoot them, Knight! Shoot them!
Startled, you fumble around in the cupola and bang your head while trying to open it too fast. You take the machine gun, cock it, and blast away at the soldiers.
A huge boom comes from the tank's barrel, surprising you half to death.
The shell smashes into one of the great hinges, and the vault door comes crashing down. Demoy rams the tank into gear and catapults forward. Hold on just in time as it bounces over the door. Then the tank is stuck.
Move out, Moira says. Cover us with machine gun fire,
Moira says to Awate, and then grabs you by the fold of your coat and yanks you hard off the tank. You fall hard and twist your ankle just as a spray of bullets hits the tread above you. Moira leaps next to you, his M16 barking out metal death. You hear the tank's much larger machine gun add to the carnage. You see the sparks of large caliber bullet impacts flare on the computers like stars twinkling in the sky. Vacuum tubes blow and paper punch cards fly across the room. At the center, the great black hole, the wormhole, burps and rages in anger. It opens and closes, gnashing its teeth like some huge beast. More soldiers rush into the room. Moira grabs you, drags you towards the wormhole. Your ankle won't support you, so he pulls you up the metal ramp.
Okay, Knight, blow it up!
You reach for your bag. It's gone. You look back to the tank and see it on the ground where you fell.
My bag's over there,
you say, pointing. Moira curses.
Then that's it, we're dead.
Or we go through.
You look back to see Wawate unleashing a stream of death onto the soldiers that are now pouring in like a green cloud of locusts, unending and unstoppable in their multitude. You catch Wawate's eye. She has that same look as the warrior you shut out of the tank. Desperate, scared, she knows it's the end. Her ammunition belt runs out. She looks at you in terror.
I'm sorry,
you mouth the words. She closes her eyes. Moira pulls you through the wormhole before you can witness her end. And so ends Ojibwe Miners. Or does it? There is a bonus track that you can listen to, and it will take you through the wormhole, and you will discover a different world for you to explore. Many of your questions will be answered in the bonus track, such as the fates of Lianji and Cass, and you'll learn if Moira does in fact manage to achieve his goal of being made king of the Ojibwe. If that interests you, please head over to our Patreon page, where you can sign up to support the show. When you do, you'll get instant access to the bonus track for Ojibwe Miners, as well as countless other audio stories going back over a decade. Secret stories only available to you when you sign up. And from this point forward, whenever we produce a story for you on the podcast feed, there will be an extra bonus track just for our Patreon supporters. You can find us by either going to the website at twilighthistories.com and clicking through to our Patreon page, or by going directly to Patreon and running a search for The Twilight Histories. I'm Jordan Harbour. Thanks for listening to The Twilight Histories. Until next time, take care.